Redline.
The hunt for a submarine-like object in the Baltic Sea started early this week. Swedish Navy presented a grainy picture of what initially appeared to be some kind of a craft moving among the islands of the Stockholm Archipelago, and suspicions were immediately directed at Russia, as in the old days of the Cold War we had quite a number of episodes of military build-up, which actually generated tensions in Baltics. This week, the tension reached climax when Swedish defense officials said that they intend to force that mystery vessel to surface and they would not hesitate to use force. So there was a lot of speculation what actually would happen. There was a flurry of the reports of the new Cold War actually coming to Baltics. And this is what we are going to discuss in our section, Between the Lines. There's a thought-provoking article, Sweden's Submarine Hunt Evokes Cold War Memories, which was carried by the Wall Street Journal this week and which was written by Charles Duxbury and Christina Zander. And the authors are drawing parallel between this week's hunt for that mysterious submarine with similar stories of early 80s, which were really detective and now has gone to history textbooks. But still, as we see, the ghosts of history are getting back to the 21st century. So just before we start, let me just give you one quote from the story. The accidental grounding of a Soviet military submarine remains a regular topic of conversation in Sweden, even though it happened as far back as 1981. The grounding of that submarine U-137 on rocks off the Swedish town of Karlskrona 33 years ago led to a standoff between Moscow and Stockholm. Swedish then Prime Minister issued a now famous order to the Swedish military to hold the borders as Soviet ships approached to support the stricken submarine, which was ultimately escorted back out to international waters. A Russian defense ministry spokesman put forward an alternative theory on the origin of the possible submarine, telling local news agencies that it was most likely Dutch. So let us discuss it in more detail with our studio guest, Viktor Mizin, deputy director with Russia's Institute of Strategic Assessment. Mr. Mizin, so you remember famous Beatles song, "We All Live in a Yellow Submarine." What color is submarine this time, and was there any submarine at all? Or this is a project of Swedish media wild imagination?
Well, unfortunately for me, I mean, the case is not so funny, because pretty much like with the sanctions, we see a terrible kind of deja vu when we are thrown back into some kind of Cold War standoff, unfortunately, with our Western partners. And of course, all this reminds the notorious hunting for Red October. And for me, it's a part of hysteria and paranoia, which was instigated after the outbreak of Ukrainian crisis in the West. And unfortunately, although many experts would disagree with me, at least in rhetoric, I think we are now sliding into something which for me reminds, I mean, the remnants of the Cold War. It's very unfortunate because traditionally we've been good partners and neighbors and on friendly relations with our Swedish colleagues. And I think it's very unfortunate because it poisons our bilateral relations and leads us nowhere, especially that nothing has been found. And probably nothing has been there. Not probably, but I'm sure that nothing has been there. And it's not for the first time, because just recently there was the same kind of havoc about the alleged penetration of Russian military planes on the training flight, allegedly into Estonian airspace. So I think it's all very unfortunate, and we should think about the ways how to come out of this kind of strategic impasse, because I'm sure that neither side, nor Moscow for sure, nor our Western colleagues, we don't want this kind of confrontation anymore.
So, do I get it right that what we've seen this week shows the abnormal situation in diplomacy and politics? And probably this story was blown up by the media due to this factor.
By the media, I think that the population still, on the logic stand, is quite friendly toward Moscow, toward Russia. But when it goes for political class in the West, in Europe, in the United States, in Europe, Sweden included, I think that what we see is some kind of very strong anti-Russian campaign where they try to press on Russian tours anywhere where it's possible, and rupturing all ties in culture, in science, in technology, imposing sanctions and not willing to raise those sanctions. Unfortunately, it's a kind of very unfortunate spiral, and we have to get out of it.
Victor, we'll get back to it, but now let me introduce our next guest, Jan van Benham, the foreign commentator of the Netherlands Daily. So obviously Netherlands were very much in news this week, along with Sweden and Russia, as there were also speculations of probably Dutch submarine hunted in Swedish waters.
Red line.
So, Mr. Van Benton, please explain to us, since you're in the region, what is the reason for that Swedish unprecedented and surprise, if not odd, activity which we've seen this week, looking for some imaginary submarine?
Well, that's up to the Swedes, of course, but there were several sightings, they say, of an unknown vessel which was surfaced and looked like a smaller submarine. A submarine which was dedicated to operate in shallow waters like these waters near Stockholm, which are not deep, and you have thousands of islands there, so you have to have a special kind of submarine which can operate there. And one of the Dutch submarines, of our Dutch submarines, are fitted to do so. And that week also Dutch Navy ships had been practicing in the Baltic Sea. There were one frigate, a supply ship, a patrol ship, and the submarine, His Majesty's ship, Bruinvis. In English, it's porpoise. So that's what the Russians said. Like, if you are going to look for a submarine which was there in the vicinity, then please call the Dutch. They might have an answer.
So, yes, you took it from my mouth. I just wanted to recall that the Russian Defense Ministry spokesman this week said that Dutch submarine had been conducting technical maneuvers near Stockholm, and those maneuvers included emergency submarine photos of which appeared in Swedish press. So that is, so to say, what is attributed to Dutch tracing this story. But again, Mr. Van Betham, don't you have a feeling that, apart from what Mr. Mizen said, that probably this is all hiccups of the Cold War, there could have been some strong political consideration within Sweden itself, because Sweden had its elections this September. So we see the new government, new defense ministry, which is flexing muscles, trying to show its importance to the nation. Probably all those imaginary hunt actually was one of the ways just to come up with their own domestic agenda.
I don't think so. It doesn't look like that.
Why?
It very much looks like the Swedes are sincerely convinced there is something out there. And they don't know exactly what, but already for over a year, there is a strong feeling in Sweden that they want to improve, they want to spend more on defense. That was with former Prime Minister Reinfeldt, but also with the president, new Social Democrat Prime Minister Löfven. He also said that after the press conferences on this occasion, that it is clear that Sweden needs to re-improve again on the defense, which was not that much a priority anymore, but it looks like that's becoming a priority more. But what surprised us in the Netherlands is that we were more or less involved. You know, it would have meant for us quite a drama if it truly were a Dutch submarine, which was in trouble there, the Purpoise, because our king, William Alexander, was on board of that submarine. So if he would have had that submarine in trouble in the Baltic Sea,
we would have had
a royal drama.
Yeah. And look what Swedish defense officials are saying. They were saying that they intend to use force. And if it was a Dutch submarine and the king was somewhere
to help. If they would find that specific craft, if it were a submarine, and they want to try to drive it to the surface to identify it, they would, if necessary, use force to drive it to the surface. Not to destroy it, but to have it surfaced so they could encounter it and get on board and to see who it is.
A very interesting observation of the king.
Red line.
Let us come to our next guest, Evgeny Buzhinsky, ex-head of the International Contract Department of Russia's Defense Ministry, Lieutenant General. Mr. Buzhinsky, thank you for coming on the program. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
So, Mr. Buzhinsky, you are the only professional among us here. I'm not a military man, but still, to me, from the very beginning, it looked as if in that whole story was very weak on substance. So how it could have happened that the story was blown up by media to such a proportion?
About the pictures. Of late, we've seen so many pictures of different events, so vague, so unclear, so uncertain that you can interpret those pictures whatever you like to. As for the submarine, you see, my opinion is that it's very difficult to find the black cat in a dark room, especially if it is not there. So I'm looking forward to see what the Swedish Navy will, at the end, find in the Baltic Sea waters. Well, as for the Cold War, you remember that in the 80s there was an accident in the Baltic Sea near the Swedish coast when the Soviet submarine, well, actually had an accident there. But since then, I don't remember anything, any accident with the Russian submarines near Swedish waters. So I doubt very much that there is anything there. It seems to me that the Swedish Navy is looking for something not real.
All of us were thrilled by that statement of Swedish defense officials who were saying that they intend to use force if they find the submarine. So let us just imagine that this is a Dutch submarine, and which is a NATO. So Sweden can use a force against the NATO submarine. Well, this is just a rhetoric.
I don't know what they mean when they're saying they will use force. They
exactly.
will make a submarine just to appear from deep waters. I don't know. What do they intend to do? To use force to do what? To submerge the submarine, to ruin it, or to make it just appear in the water?
Mr. Buzhinsky, another question to you as a military man. In practical terms, what should be done to avoid such situations in future? I mean, confidence-building measures. So what can be done on the part of military?
Confidence-building measures, naval confidence-building measures, it's just what Russian Federation have been proposing for several times in the framework of Vienna document. But our Western partners, first of all, the United States, then Britain, by the way, Sweden is a strong supporter of the idea against naval CSBM. Because the sacred principle, as the Americans said, freedom of navigation, runs counter the naval CSBMs. Although, in my opinion, naval CSBMs is what we really need to avoid such misunderstandings.
Victor, you wanted to add something?
No. I think that it's all covered. I also was startled by the idea that you would use force, trying to force a submarine to submerge. How? I mean, dropping the deep charges on the boat. I think it's very hilarious. And also, I would agree that for many, many decades, Russia, the Soviet Union, has been proposing the idea that there would be the large areas in the open seas where the submarine activity would be precluded, but they would always, as Lieutenant General has said, they've been rejected by the NATO countries.
Well, the recent reports say that after that extremely tense week, Swedish defense officials are scaling down their search operation, so it seems that probably we'll see this scandal coming to an end. But I think that all of us have to think over what conclusions should be drawn from that story, because none of us want the repetition of that 1981 incident, which is popularly known as Whiskey on the Rocks, which Mr. Buzhinsky was referring to. Yes, Victor, very briefly, because we are running out of time.
The very unfortunate ramification of this so-called incident was that many NATO countries have stated that after that, they are to enhance their presence, imagine, in the Arctic area close to the Russian borders, and I think that it's very unfortunate development.
Well, Victor, but Arctic, this is a subject for a separate discussion, separate story. So, and let me thank all our guests who were trying just to unwrap the puzzle of the submarine, alleged submarine. That was Victor Mizin, Deputy Director of the Institute of Strategic Assessment. Evgeny Buzhinsky, ex-head of the International Contract Department of the Russia's Defense Ministry, Lieutenant General. And also joining us from the Netherlands, Jan van Benham, the foreign commentator of the Netherlands Daily. Following in our program, the enigma of Joko Widodo, the son of a carpenter to lead Indonesia. Joko Widodo, Indonesia's new president, took over as the head of the largest Muslim state in the world. Tens of thousands of people rushed to the streets of Jakarta to celebrate his meteoric rise to power from the son of a carpenter to one of the global leaders. Attending an inauguration ceremony, U.S. State Secretary John Kerry pledged for Asian support in fight against Islamic State militants. Stay with us.